More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. So Boise State's football season gets underway tomorrow, and it will be captured on national television. Our All Things Considered host, Troy Oppy, joins us now, along with BJ Raines, for a preview of this year on the Blue Turf. Hi, Troy.
Thanks, Gemma. Glad to be with you. Glad to have BJ Raines here as well, the founder and publisher of Bronco Nation News. But BJ, you now out on your own. You've been covering this team now for about a decade, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I was thinking back. My very first game covering Boise State was the last time they played at Washington in 2013. That was my first game on the beat. So this is entering football season number 11. It is pretty crazy to think where the time has gone.
Well, and Boise State, it was not successful on that day in the fall of 2013. That is a pretty tough place to play. And that seems to be the expectation. Coach Andy Avalos talking this week about, you know, what they're having to do to prepare to play in Husky Stadium in front of, they think, maybe around 68,000 fans. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful setting for college football. They have all the boats out there on the water, and it's going to be a beautiful afternoon and nationally televised game. But yeah, when you fill it with 70,000 people, I mean, this will be one of the bigger crowds Boise State has played in front of in a long, long time. And so, yeah, you have to have the silent count, and it doesn't help they have two freshman offensive linemen starting. And so the communication is going to be key. And obviously, you know, by far will be the biggest crowd they play in front of all season. So it's going to be tough, no doubt about it. Some teams like to play the cupcakes, get the easy win. Boise State doesn't typically do that. They're going right into the lion's den right out of the gate.
Yeah, and that's sort of the rub offensively for the Broncos, but the focus of this game seems to be, what's Boise State going to do to stop Washington's high-powered offense?
No doubt, yeah. I mean, I think Boise State can score some points. Everyone feels pretty good about Talen Green and the running backs and what they got going on there. But yeah, I think this game comes down to you lose J.L. Skinner, you lose Tyreek Jones, you lose Scott Matlock. I mean, they got three or four guys in NFL, you know, practice squads or teams right now. And mm-hmm. So how do you replace that talent? And, oh, yeah, you're going up against a guy that's going to be one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy this year and some of the best receiving core in the nation. I mean, they were number one in the country in passing yards last year and brought back their top three receivers and their quarterback. So huge challenge right out of the gate for a defense that, like I said, has a lot of new guys stepping up into bigger roles.
Yeah, Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. in the Heisman conversation this year. Beyond just this game for Boise State, what is the outlook this year? Where's the team looking to replace a need? You mentioned the offensive line. Are there other areas where there's a bit of a question mark for Boise State this year?
Yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, a couple freshmen on the O-line. Like we said, I think the defensive line lost some key guys. They brought in some transfers there. You know, you lose a linebacker, a lot of spots on the secondary, you know, had to be replaced and on the defensive side. I mean, overall, I think they feel pretty good about where they're at. I just don't know if the score is going to reflect it. The result of the game on Saturday is going to reflect it. I mean, I think it'd be a tall task expecting them to win on Saturday, but I still think they could go 10-2 or have a great season. They're just playing literally one of the best teams in the country in their first game. So maybe if they lose 50-3 or something, we'll feel differently, but I still feel pretty good about this team. I think fans feel pretty good. I think Andy Avalos feels really good. I just don't know if we should totally judge what happens on Saturday and project that for the rest of the season.
At one game at a time, I think, as they would like us to say, right? Who are you watching for among new faces? There are many new faces, dozens of new players on this team this year. Who are you expecting to make a splash?
Well, I don't know if like new players, but guys like barely played last year that should have much bigger roles this year. I think an Eric McAllister at wide receiver kind of showed some glimpses last year and really came on late in the season. I think he's a guy, you know, Prince Strawn is a freshman receiver that's like 6'5 and has NFL potential. His brother actually plays for the Colts. And so that's two receivers I'm looking at. I mean, you flip over to the other side of the ball. I mean, a guy like Markell Reed started the first game last year and then tore his ACL and was out for the season. He's back and won the starting cornerback job. I mentioned the secondary. I mean, Andrew Simpson at linebacker played a little last year and now takes over for Zeke Noah at linebacker. You know, I think even at safety, Alexander Tubner, former walk-on, is J.L. Skinner's replacement. And you put those two next to each other and they look nothing alike. J.L. Skinner is 6'4". He's an NFL draft pick. J.L. Skinner was a walk-on that had no Division I offers. And so there's a lot of guys stepping into bigger roles, like I said, but a lot of guys that do have some playing experience. They've added in some transfers along the defensive line. But typically true freshmen don't play a ton. They got a couple guys and they got some transfers, but none of the key players are like just quote unquote new. They're just guys that maybe have much bigger roles than they had last year.
Quarterback Talen Green is back. And I get the sense that there's quite a bit of excitement about his return this year. Maybe fans as excited for anyone's return at the quarterback position since a guy named Kellen Moore.
It's crazy. We were interviewing him earlier today, and you're standing there talking to him. You're like, is this guy a center on the basketball team, or is he the starting quarterback? I mean, he is. When you actually, you know, I'm 6 foot. I'm not necessarily short, but I'm like looking, you know, straight up at this guy. I mean, it is crazy to think he's a Division I starting quarterback. He's like listed at 6'6 or so. And yeah, I mean, last year he showed that he could run. He's the fastest player on the team. He certainly can evade pressure and make some things happen. But I think that they were hoping this year he made some improvements in the passing game, and they really want to see him stay in the pocket a little more. Last year, as soon as he'd start to get a little pressure, he would just take off running. I think this year they want him to hang in the pocket a little more. Bush Hamden coming in as offensive coordinator, a former quarterback at Boise State himself. They've really worked to improve him. He's a great athlete, but they want to make him a better quarterback. And I think that that will be on display Saturday against Washington. And yeah, everyone's talking about Penix Jr. And I'm not saying Taylen Green's going to be in the Heisman discussion this year, but if he has a big year, I think going into next year, 2024, it certainly could be one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
You mentioned this a couple times through the conversation, but folks who like to watch football on Sundays, there's about a dozen Boise State, former Boise State players on NFL rosters right now. That can fluctuate a little bit. But who are you expecting to make a big impact for an NFL team among Boise State alumni this year?
Well, I mean, personally, just the guys that like just left. I'm curious to see how JL Skinner does. Scott Matlock, two guys that we talked about. Those are two guys that made the active 53-man rosters. I mean, guys like Brett Rippon, you know, John Ojukwu, Tyreek Jones, you know, those guys were cut and then signed to the practice squad. And as you said, this stuff changes by the hour on where guys are going and which practice squad signed them. I mean, Leighton Vander Esch, still with the Cowboys. I think he's a fan favorite that everyone's looking at. Charles Leno Jr. But I think, you know, he's
league,
a lineman.
Yeah,
lineman up there for, I think this is 11th season or something, 10th or 11th year up there with the Washington Commanders. They've got John Bates there as well. But I think Khalil Shakir, I'm excited to see how he goes in year two. I mean, he was a guy that obviously working with a guy like Josh Allen, there's a lot there. And but they've got some pretty talented receivers. But I think Khalil had a nice rookie season, and I'm kind of intrigued to see what kind of step Khalil Shakir takes in, with the Bills in year two.
I want to mention a special event in Boise tonight, a triple header on the blue. You've got high school teams from Oakley and Hendrick, Fruitland and Emmett facing off, but a lot of folks interested in watching Valley View take on Burley.
Why would that be?
I don't know. BJ, you tell me something about the state's top football recruit who's committed to Boise State.
Yeah, Gatlin Bear, one of the highest ranked recruits, in the, or the highest ranked recruit, you know, in the history of the state of Idaho, the highest ranked player to commit to Boise State, the highest ranked player ever to commit to a school in the Mountain West. I mean, we're talking a guy who's probably going to be 5 stars by the time the year's over. He's right on that borderline 4 to 5 stars, but he's a top 50 player in the entire country. And you think about, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of players across the country in the class. I mean, you know, 20,000, I don't know how many there actually are, but he's you know, a top 50 player in the entire country, one of the fastest players in the country. He's a wide receiver, and he is going to be going on an LDS mission. So he's going to play on the blue tonight and then take a 2-year mission and then be back in 2026. So this is kind of his one chance to get his feet wet on the blue, and then he'll come back in a couple years. But I'll tell you, a lot of excitement about him, and it was a huge win. Even though he won't play for a couple of years, it was a huge win for Andy Avalos and company to get him, because his other finalists were Oregon and Michigan and TCU, who just played in the championship game last year, Nebraska. I mean, it was a bunch of who's who in college football, and Boise State got him. So pretty cool. The game was already set up before he committed, but pretty cool that he'll be playing with Burley there on the blue.
That game kicks off Burley and Valley View at 7 o'clock tonight, but the football starts at 3 o'clock with the triple header. Boise State asking folks to buy tickets ahead of time if you're going to go to Albertson Stadium tonight. BJ Raines, enjoy football. The kickoff to the season Saturday in Seattle, Boise State and the University of Washington, 1:30 Mountain Time. That game's on ABC, nationally televised game. BJ, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Always a pleasure chatting with you, Troy. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.